Would you take your Bibles tonight? Let's turn together to the book of Hebrews, and specifically chapter 4. We're going to read the first five verses of this particular chapter and take up a theme tonight that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to you. We're in chapter 4 of Hebrews. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that which heard it. For we which have believed do enter into His rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture and emphasizes the hearing ear, the necessity of receiving the Word of God and mixing it with what? Faith. Faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon our message tonight. Father, I thank You for Your goodness to us, and we thank You for the rest that is found in Jesus Christ alone. But Lord, we understand and know that we have to receive the truth. We have to hear it, and we have to mix it with faith. And I pray that You might teach us tonight from Your Word of the importance and how that is done. Pray that You would show us from Your Word these wonderful truths, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first half of verse 2, which we're going to focus on, you see two different groups of hearers. Did you see that? For unto us, so we see the us, was the gospel preached, as well as unto, say it please, them. So we have us and them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, it's interesting to me that they did hear the message of the gospel, but the message of the gospel was not mixed with faith. They didn't go to that next level. And the writer of Hebrews is very concerned about those who hear the message but do not mix it with faith, and as a result of that, miss the rest that is promised to those who believe. How many of you believe that we have a rest in Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible over and over again emphasizes to us that we are to rest in Him, and that our future in heaven is going to be one of rest. And it's compared to the seventh day. The seventh day is mentioned to us here in verse 4. And God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Isn't that what we're going to do? When we go into the presence of the Lord, we're going to rest from all of our labors, and we're going to be in His presence, and we're going to rest in Him for all eternity. That means that we're not going to sit around and do nothing, but it means that we're no longer living life here, no longer living the troubles and the difficulties, no more hearing of someone battling cancer, no more getting the message that someone is really sick, or, I mean, our hearts dip with us because this is life here. But life there is called rest because we don't have to battle with the issues of this world anymore. I don't know about you, but that thrills my soul. That thrills my soul, but you'll miss it. You will miss it. If you hear and you don't mix what you hear with faith. How many times have we heard preaching that did not profit us? One of my greatest fears, and I'm a preacher of the Word, and one of my greatest fears is to get up here and preach to you and you not profit from it. I want you to be fed God's Word. That's my desire. That's what I pray for. But there have been times where you've gone to church and you walked out the doors and went to your house and you said, you know what? I didn't get the message tonight. I'm struggling understanding what the preacher was saying, and you didn't benefit much from that. Now, that very well could be the fault of the preacher, and I would imagine in some cases that is true. But sometimes we have these levels of how we rate preachers. All right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? I was speaking to someone, got a note from one of the women in his church there. He's on the pulpit committee. They're trying to find a pastor to replace the pastor that's there now. And she said, dear people on the pulpit committee, make sure that the preacher that you get is funny. And so he sent a note back to this individual. Said, I read through 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and I did not find in any qualifications of the preacher that he's supposed to be funny. But what have we done today? We rate preachers by whether they're funny or not. Oh, that was a great evangelist. He was so funny. Did you get anything from the Word of God? Or was it just the jokes that were funny? Oh, that preacher, that evangelist, he was just so intellectual, and he just came across to me like someone that really knows what they're doing. Or he was an animated preacher. Now that can be good or bad. If you're jumping over pews and jumping over people, that's animated. Or you could just be moving around enough where people keep their eyes on you and stay awake. There's different meanings of that. But those things are not what the Lord has placed as standards for preaching, is it? We have to look to God's Word. Now, too often, if we're not careful, we will gauge the value of a sermon on the quality of the oratory, if it was humorous, or the quality of the presentation. Was the sermon short? Everybody goes, yeah. Well, that was great. Great message, Pastor. You finished up at 10 till. Thank you so much. Yeah. Or was the sermon long? I was speaking to someone just this past week about a preacher that they had recently for an evangelistic service. He preached an hour and a half. And some of the people were struggling to get through with the message. And I happen to believe that, messages, if you can't say it in 30 to 40 minutes, then you lose people, and you're probably just repeating yourself. You need to get it said, and then let the people take that, let the Holy Spirit of God. But this individual was telling me, he said they were squirming in their seats, and the kids had to go to the bathroom, and it was just, it got in. Now, sometimes, back in the old days, they preached long sermons. You'd be in a service for 3 hours in some cases. In India, very common. When I was there, some of the young people came up to me and says, "We like you, Pastor Todd, because your messages are fairly short." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by I preached for 40 minutes tonight?" "Well, we won't say anything, but some of the preachers, they like to talk." Yeah. Well, we know some preachers that love to talk. And they will talk, and the clock on the wall means nothing. Why do we put it there? All right. Well, I look up there, and I'll see I need to start wrapping things up and finishing it up. But, we rate the preaching of the Word based upon the length of the message, or how funny it is, or how intellectual. We look at it based on what we like, and whether the preacher is saying it in a way that we enjoy. Now, I hope and pray that I'm not a boring preacher. I've asked the Lord to help me through the years. Oh, Lord, help me not just to be doing dry bones type. Help me to communicate your word and help people to be able to grab a hold of what we have to say so they can go with it. It needs to be beneficial. Amen. It needs to strengthen you so you can go out and face the world. Face the onslaughts of Satan. You got to have the shield of faith. And you've got to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to do battle against Satan. And if you go out of here unarmed, I haven't done my job as the pastor. I haven't done my job as a preacher. But at the same time, we need to realize that gathering in church is not like going to Walmart. All right? How many of you dread going to Walmart? All right, thank you for joining with me. I do not like going to Walmart. I am not a shopper. I never have been, and I don't plan on changing. I just don't care to go shopping. I don't like the experience. First of all, trying to find a parking lot spot. You go there, and then my doctor told me, he says, when you go shopping, always park far away so you have to walk to go through. That will help you. I said, sir, I walk all day long. And then I walk most evenings out here at the ballpark, so I've got the walking part down. But then you have to go into the experience of walking into the store and looking up and see that they changed it from the last time you were there. And then you have to go find a worker and say, you know, where is this at? Where is that at? And then, oh, it's over there. Well, where is over there? I have no idea where over there is. And you walk up and down the aisles and you try to find what you're supposed to. Your wife gives you something on the list that you're supposed to pick up. And then when you get something and you bring it home, that's not what I wanted. Now, you know what that means? We're going back to Walmart. The first time I didn't want to go, and now I really don't want to go the second time. But, you know, that happens from time to time. I'm just not a sharp shopper. If I know I can get it online, I'll get it online. I just don't like to go stand there and go through the whole experience. Well, some people feel that way about church. Oh, no, it's Sunday. Got to go to church today? What reason can I think up of not going to church today? You know what? A couple of days ago, I had a sore throat, and you know, I feel like I've got it coming on right now. Oh, there's a tickle right there. I don't think I can make it. We think up all kinds of excuses and reasons for doing it. There was many years ago that Brother Randall Douglas, missionary to the Caribbean, told the story about a man that he turned into the BIMI. Because he wasn't doing his job as a missionary on Sundays. Instead of preaching the Word of God, he was out racing boats. And he got caught. He was on national television down there because he won the race. And he's out there holding the trophy, and someone got a picture of that and took it back to the church and said, is this your pastor? Oh, yes, it is. We wondered why every Sunday he was having different ones of us speak. He was out racing boats. He was using money from the offering plate to rebuild the motor on his boat so he could increase the horsepower so he could go faster in the Sunday races. Got caught, turned into the mission board. Mission board went down there, investigated, find out this has been an ongoing issue for some time, and they kicked him out of the mission organization. He actually came here. He had the gall to come here to Milton, Florida, because he was checking out the mission board down the street here. And they said no to him, by the way, too, after they found out his story, thankfully. But he came in here, and he said, yeah, those people were spreading rumors about me, you know, racing on. So I only did it a few times. He sat in my office and told me that. And I said, well, it was one too many, as far as I'm concerned. We're not interested in supporting you, so if you'll please go on your way. And by the way, I don't think you should be seeking the support of other churches and trying to go back and maybe do the same thing again. Maybe you need to go do something else. Now, the whole idea, he saw it as a money-making venture for him to enjoy his little hobby that he had going on the backs of churches here in America who had sent him down to do what? To present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and instead he was doing his own thing. Coming to church should not be like going to Walmart. We need to understand that this is the place where we're fed. Most people don't eat at Walmart. You buy food and you take it home and you fix it. Not unless you go to the Subway in Walmart. And I did that a few times, but I just got tired of sitting there and having 600 people look at me while I was eating my Subway, you know. They'd come stand in the doorway, and you could see them smelling. Do I want to go in there now, or do I want to go in there after I'm done shopping? That was kind of their thinking. And you're sitting there eating there in the last seat right by the door. There, as thousands of people go wheeling by, And I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'll just take it to go whenever we go. Now, I want us to think tonight of what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying in verse 2 that there is two responsibilities. There's the responsibility of the preacher to give the message. But there's also the responsibility of the listener to not only hear, but to do what? To take what's heard and mix it with faith. And what does that look like? What does it mean to mix it with faith? It means to take God's Word, to grab a hold of it and put it in practice in the life. That's faith. Faith is putting to practice what God has said in His Word. Oh, how important that is. You and I have a responsibility to sit in church and pay attention. It's easy to get distracted. I've seen God use roaches. Well, I shouldn't blame the Lord for that. I've seen the devil use roaches. We'll put it that way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I remember many, many years ago when I first started preaching, I watched a roach, as I was preaching, dart from side to side, working its way down the pews, and everybody looking down. Looking at each other. Some were snickering. Some didn't put their feet up in the pew because they were scared that the roach was going to crawl on them. And let me ask you something. Was anybody paying the least bit of attention to what the preacher was saying? No. No. We've had flies flying around. I've had them up here in the pulpit, flittering around my face as they're moving around. Mosquitoes. Just, you know, the devil will use just about anything to distract. Why? Because he doesn't want you to hear and to mix what you've heard with faith. So it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much anyway because we're easily distracted. Any kind of a strange noise, you know, car drives by in the headlights and everybody's looking, you know. It doesn't take much to distract us. And it's not just the kids that get distracted too, by the way. It's adults and folks that, you know, there's something that's different. Something that's different. Oh, it's good to be alert. But you know what? We got to get our minds back because we're not just up here talking. We're not making an announcement at Walmart. We are sharing God's eternal Word. And we've got a responsibility to that. We've got a responsibility. I want you to see how you can increase your faith. We've got just a few minutes here. How do I increase my faith so that I can grow in my worship of God in Sunday services and on Wednesday night services? I want to grow in my worship. How do I do that? I want to grow in my knowledge of God's Word. Well, first of all, you need to see the value of preaching. The value of preaching. Preaching is God's powerful and designated way of publishing and propagating the Christian faith. Not singing, not drama, not chanting, not karate, not clapping, not comedy, but rather preaching. And I can say that on the authority of God's Word, for we read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. To save them that believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. That's how the world looks at it. They'd much rather be doing karate, clapping, comedy. Oh, we've got all kinds of stuff that's out there today. People want to have that. But that's not what God is pleased by. He is pleased by preaching. Now, there are good things about singing, drama, chanting, karate, clapping, comedy, I'm sure. But God is pleased with preaching. And that's how He's deigned to reach those who will believe. Now, there is a difference between a prophet or apostle and a preacher. And I think it's important to stop right here now and get this cleared up. A prophet, an apostle, were those in Old Testament and New Testament times who God directed to deliver new truth. All right, did you get that? I said new truth. When God moved in the prophets or He moved in the apostles, they were sharing things that were new and that were recorded in our Bibles, and we have it today. What does a preacher do? A preacher stands up before you and preaches over and over and over again revealed truth, not new truth. If I got up here and I said, I've got some new truth that never been heard before, you need to get up and walk out the door. All right? Because I'm not preaching God's Word. I've created something new. A preacher has a responsibility to preach what God has already declared. That's what a preacher does. Now, a preacher is one who repeats the revealed truth over and over again. Preachers share and explain the truth that God has revealed through the prophets and the apostles of old. There's an old Scottish revivalist. I've received much benefit from some of his writings, Dr. James Stewart, who wrote this about preaching. The aim of preaching is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination to the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. I'm going to read that again because there is so much in that, so much helpful about what preaching is. Preaching is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, the purity, righteousness, and holiness of God, to quicken my conscience. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. And it quickened my conscience. I need to know that. I need to understand that. To feed the mind with the truth of God. Do you go out of here full? Did you take what was put on the plate? You know, one of the things that we, the kids were growing up, is that when we put food on the plate, we expected them to eat it. We didn't run a buffet in our house, and I learned this from my mom and dad growing up. We don't have enough money in the world to run a buffet. All right, we don't have a taco bar over here, and we don't have, you know, fried chicken over here, and we don't have ham over here. We had the one meal, and when we sat down, that's what we were going to eat. Now, when we come to church, you don't have a salad bar. You don't have the whole Bible that you can listen to all at one time. We're focusing in on a passage of Scripture. And I need to have that passage of Scripture feed me. But you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. You don't eat when you're full. We're watching Gregory and Devin's dogs, and they are eternally hungry. It doesn't matter. They're hungry all the time. They can go eat and come into the living room and they'll sit there looking at you while you're maybe eating a sandwich or, you know, eating something. They're just staring at you because they want what you've got. They figure they're missing out. Whenever I let them out of their cages in the morning to take them out and do their business and bring them back inside to feed them, Oliver has this routine. He runs around in a circle while I'm getting the food into the bowl. Raina's more dignified. She actually will sit there while Raina's doing flips and flops and running around in circles and so forth like that. I open the door, I make my way to the back room, and I put it in the dish. Well, sometimes I'll just stand there and hold it. And so Oliver will sit down, and he'll be perfectly still. Because he's been taught by Gregory, settle down, sit still before I feed you. And then I'll take it slowly, and I'll put the cup down there, and you'll hear it clink inside the metal container. And then it's just like lightning. That dog is on that, and it's gone in two or three gulps. And he'll be looking at me, is there more? Nope, that's it. That's all you get. Raina, on the other hand, is like a little dainty, you know, princess. She'll walk up over there, and she'll start eating, but she savors every bite. And she, if Oliver starts sneaking over there, look out, because she moves from princess status to, I mean, and lets him know, get out of here. I am enjoying my meal, thank you. Two different approaches. Both of them are hungry. One savors, the other devours quickly. No time to taste. We just got to get it. But both of them are what? They're hungry. It's time to eat. When you walk through the doors of this church, whether it be on Sunday morning or Sunday night or on a Wednesday evening, we need to come how? Hungry. We need to come hungry for the Word. If you come hungry for the Word, you're more likely to benefit from the Word of God because you're ready to receive it. If you come full of the world and the cotton candy of this world, you're not going to want it. Oh, how we need to understand the importance and the value of preaching. And we're going to develop this a little bit further in the services ahead, but I hope and pray that we understand that hearing is wonderful, but hearing is only part of it. What do we need to do? We need to take what's heard and mix it with faith. Us and them are brought out in verse 2. And the them did not receive what God had for them. They could not enter into rest because they did not believe the word that they heard. May God help us to do that. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the precious word of God. Oh, how beneficial it is for those who have ears to hear. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but there's also a kind of hearing that doesn't have faith. We need to be aware of that. I pray that you would teach your people. Teach me as well, Father, to always come hungry so that we will receive your word and benefit from the wonderful truths that you have for us. And may we not be like those that are described in chapter 4 who did not mix what they heard with faith. Lord, they did not benefit and therefore were not eligible to enter into that rest that was promised for those that had ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, if we don't benefit, if we don't take to heart the things that we hear, then we'll have nothing to share with a lost and dying world because we ourselves will not have benefited. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be a hearing and a believing people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.